You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Back here on the second guest show, Mike Dottiglio along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, the Silver Slipper Casino, Meatside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. On our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, former New Orleans Saint, Super Bowl champ himself, now in the media, Scott Shanley. Scott, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Yeah.
All right.
We're doing great, Scott.
Scott,
as a defensive player, when you like to be a linebacker, I guess you can anticipate what can happen because I think you are very cerebral as a linebacker. And, you know, you were tough. I'm not saying, a knock a snot bubble. But when I look at the Eagles, had 16 pressures and 6 sacks all from its D-line. When you like to be a linebacker behind that, that they impacted the game that way.
Yeah, I mean, you watch that game and we spend all this time and we get lost in the Mahomes magic and the Andy Reid play calling and all these different things. And then, you know, the first couple of drives of that game, you're sitting like, wow, this is going to be a long night for KC. And you could just see it. You could see, and to answer your question, Bobby, yeah, who wouldn't want to play linebacker behind Jalen Carter and those guys? I mean, Davis, and I mean, they have one of the better defensive lines, and yesterday looked like the best defensive line in football, but just so much pressure. They collapsed the pocket so fast. Mahomes was never comfortable, and you know, anybody's watched a lot of football and seen Mahomes play, he hasn't been, I don't think I've ever seen him that rattled. Maybe the other Super Bowl against the Buccaneers where they were getting after him, but it was a mismatch of O-line and D-line, because even if you took Philadelphia's line and you put them right next to Kansas City's offensive line, they were better man for man all the way across the board in the trenches.
Yeah, Scott, like you were saying, Mike, and that is true what Scott was saying. The last and only time, if you truly always watch Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs, and when they lost in the Super Bowl, he had not been see constant pressure like that, and it was Tampa Bay.
Yep.
That's when.
I think they had 3 starters that didn't play in that game for the Chiefs due to injuries.
Yeah, but so you know,
like. Todd Bowles got after them.
Well, yeah, a copycat lead. And, look at Tooney, when all of a sudden, okay, you're an outstanding guard, but we need you at tackle, and then you're piecemealing. And then, Scott, you know what I was saying? I was telling Mike this, I think, Mike, I said, we were talking about this early in the show. You know how you have an injury, and it could be like the Saints, you're trying to piecemeal offensive line. All of a sudden, okay, let's say this guy is like a Pro Bowl, All-Pro at left guard. But then you move him to tackle, and then he's okay, and, you know, you want to help the team. But now you have 2 problems instead of 1. You know, like, if I just kept him at guard, then I'd be worried about the left tackle. But then now we're not as efficient. We got 2 problems now on the left side of the line. I think that's what happened to the Chiefs when it came to going against them Eagles.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I would much rather be able – I'd much rather isolate one problem than create two weaknesses. And, you know, they were just – there was just a mismatch on the edge at tackle. And even inside, I mean, both those guys that the Eagles have inside are two of the better defensive tackles in the league. We saw it in week three when they were playing the Saints in the Dome and Eric McCoy went out of the game. And that the game completely changed after that because the Eagles inside pressure and they collapsed the pocket so well. But, yeah – the offensive line, you watch yesterday's game, and I was kind of laughing at myself because fan bases always moan and groan and boo and jeer when teams take offensive linemen. But that's why they take offensive linemen, because you don't have big guys. If you don't have guys who can protect the quarterback, and here's Patrick Mahomes, who arguably the greatest quarterback ever to play the game. He's got a lot of football ahead of him still. You know, they all look human when you don't get any time to throw, sit back there and pat the ball and throw the ball. So, I Kansas City's back to the drawing board just like they were a few years ago after that Tampa game, and they got to address that offensive line.
Scott, one of the things, Coach O and I were talking about this, and we're talking about college football, but it also equates to the NFL, that if you don't win up front, you got no shot. I mean, you can have some of the other pieces, but you got to have big-time people, offensive, defensive line. He was talking about, you know, Miami of Florida, and you look at them and Florida State, who were dominant teams in the 80s and 90s. But they were always good offensive, defensive line. When he was at USC with Pete Carroll, underrated was their defensive line, how good it was. They always had really good offensive linemen. And growing up, okay, we watched Nebraska, Oklahoma, Texas. Where they won in the trenches, offensive, defensive line. Now, one thing I give Sark, he was able to get a lot of that cleared up. And, man, he got some players up front now, offensive and defensive line. But none of those teams, if you go back to an Oklahoma, to a Nebraska, to a Florida State, Miami of Florida, they're not the same. It's not so much the skill players, it's what they don't have anymore, offensive, defensive line, and that equates to the NFL.
Yeah, there's no question. And, I played for Coach Bill Parcells and obviously with Sean Payton, but I learned from Coach Parcells as a young player, and I heard him talking to other coaches and his scouts. And he was a firm believer in you always draft big guys in the first and second round over smaller guys, unless you have your team set, because he always said there's not a ton of big, talented, athletic guys walking around on this planet. He can find a 5'10", 180-pound guy in round 3, 4, and 5 if he needs a running back, a cornerback, a safety. But there's not a whole lot of big, talented, athletic, twitchy guys on this planet. And so to your point, these teams that dominate college football right now, they're getting those guys. And so a lot of these other teams that are, you know, the second-tier college football programs, they're getting big guys. They're getting the body types, but they're not the twitchy guys. They're not the guys that can roll off the line of scrimmage and attack and get in the backfield. They're not big guys who can bend and get those defensive ends and protect the quarterback. So there's a lot of big guys. They look the part, but there's a select few. And I said this since my rookie year, I got to the NFL. I said it forever. And, I got drafted to the Rams. So I saw Marshall Faulk, Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce, greatest show on turf, outstanding offense. But I remember telling people in training camp my rookie year, man, you should see these defensive linemen in the NFL. To me, it was the biggest change from college football to the NFL is how athletic the defensive linemen were at their size. I mean, they were running 4.6s, 4.7s, 310 pounds. It was, they're just freaks of nature. So you have to get that no matter what level of football you're playing at. Colleges are looking for it, to your point, like Coach O was talking about. And that's why those guys get paid the big bucks in the NFL when it comes contract time as well.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, Scott, obviously, look at the skill players going in that direction, like a Pat Mahomes, look at Travis Kelce, and, Mike always talks about this, Father Time, no one's defeated Father Time. Boy, Travis Kelce sure looked old. He looked 35 years ago. Did you see him try to pass block? I thought he was like a bullfighter.
Ole,
he was going like, ole. I was like, come on, you got to slow the guy out. But I'm looking at it. But, and when you look at the history between Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce, when targeting Kelce in previous Super Bowls, together, unbelievable. Like Mahomes had completed 31 or 37 passes, 84%, 350 yards, couple of touchdowns, one pick, quarterback rating of 113. Now, you look at Kelce. He's in his 12th season, 35 years of age. And you look at this season, you'd have to say slowing down compared to what he did in previous season. Now, still an admirable year, 823 yards receiving, 3 touchdowns this season. But it was his lowest output since he played in just one game as a rookie, only averaging 8.5 yards per reception. And that was the worst mark of his career. And then look, he ended up having only, it was garbage yards really at the end. A couple of them he dropped, maybe bad throws with Mahomes, the timing. But like 4 catches, 29 yards. So I think he needs to go on the tour.
Hold the bag for the little lady. Hold the bag.
And all of a sudden, now I'm not. You probably still wants to play, but I don't know. Kelce looked old yesterday.
I think he's got a great career in broadcasting.
Yes,
too.
Yeah, him and his brother.
I think him and his brother would team up pretty good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Watch that game. He definitely looked old. The Eagles looked like the young, fresh legs, the attacking team. And there's just – it almost seems like – I agree with you. Like, he just seems like he'd rather be a podcaster, and if that's what you want to do. Because the one thing about Kelce that has made him great is his competitive nature and his passion. And for a lot of games this year, especially yesterday, he just has this 1,000-yard stare the entire time. And if you're not locked into this game – you can't be successful. And I think he's almost got one foot out the door, but he hasn't been the same player this year. I know Father Time is undefeated, but you know, when he got up to play the Texans, he had a pretty big game. He had that fire in pregame and trying to prove everybody wrong, but that's the hardest thing to do is it's a young man's game. And the guys who are getting older in the league, they can still do it, but it's hard to do it every single week. And I think that's where Kelce is at in his career.
Scott, one other thing, I know you spent a lot of time in the Texas area, and your thoughts on Kellen Moore. I thought he made a really great transition because I think at the end with the Cowboys, he was a pass-happy coach. I thought early on they ran the football pretty well with the Cowboys, but then it became a pass-happy team, and then he goes to the Chargers. They were really a pass-happy team. He goes to Philly, takes a look at that offensive line, and Saquon is like, wait a minute. Man, I got to change up. Because we got to become much more of a power running team, dictated by that. And also, too, you got a quarterback who's like another running back, too, in Jalen Hurts. Your thoughts, because all the indications are, looks as though Kellen Moore sometime this week will be named the coach of the New Orleans Saints.
Well, and you know, Scott, talking about personnel, like Mike saying, I didn't realize this. Do you know Kellen Moore and the Eagles? You know how everybody thinks it's all sexy, we need all these receivers and all that. Do you know the Eagles attempted the fewest passes in the whole NFL and having the most rushing attempts?
If I had Saquon, I'd do that too.
No, but you know how, like, oh, no, you got to, like, have all these receivers and all that. That's why winning in the trenches, and look, the running back's still in vogue. That shows you that Kellen Moore is flexible.
Yep.
That right then when I said, like, I didn't realize out of the whole NFL, 32 teams, they were dead last in as far as passing attempts, and all of a sudden had the most rushing attempts. So, hold on. The bottom line is you got to win.
Yeah, and it's taking advantage of your personnel. I think that's what it says more than anything. Like, you know, you signed Saquon as a signing of the offseason. You have Jalen Hurts, who has good legs. He's efficient in the passing game. You have really good receivers, but you have one of the best offensive lines in football. So it's about doing what you need to do to win each and every single week. And I think one of the things that stood out to me after the game was, Sirianni talking about he was impressed with the way Kellen put together a game plan every single week based on what they had to do to win that game. That's impressive. That's what great coaching does. Every single week, what do we have to do this week to win this game in front of us? And so to hear the head coach say that he was impressed by Kellen doing that in his first year there, I think that speaks volumes. But we all know you're a better coach when you have really good players around you. And there's no doubt Philadelphia has really good players. Going from an offensive coordinator and a quarterback-centric coach, it's about standing in front of a room of men and leading them and then believing you give them an unfair advantage to win. Every single week when you speak to them, you know exactly what it takes to win that game. So maybe he has some of that. It sounds like Sirianni was impressed with that every single week.
You know, basically Mickey Loomis is saying, Scott, that and like it looks like Kellen Moore is going to be the head coach now. I don't know if they're giving him a little leeway to kind of enjoy the moment being a champion and then maybe be in the parade on Friday. That's going to be a crazy parade in Philly, I'm sure. But he said the next coach will definitely have an input you know, salary cap and all that. But on key decisions, such as whether to keep Derek Carr quarterback or whether you go the full rebuild route if necessary, like even where you're holding training camp, all that. So it looks like Kellen Moore there. If you're coming to the Saints, if Kellen Moore wants Derek Carr quarterback, he's going to be the quarterback. If not, I don't know. Like Mickey Loomis is saying that if you're the coach, you could be in charge of that decision.
Yeah, and that's an enticing when the GM says, I'm not going to make you play a guy that you don't want to play. And you have to do that. Obviously, the Saints have some salary cap issues and probably turned away a few guys from the job. But you know, you look at the Jets. Aaron Glenn comes in and says, you know, all by all accounts, he decided he doesn't want Aaron Rodgers. And it's easier to start over with the guys that you want to put in place. And, I mean, make no mistake, Kellen Moore, I mean, he's coached Dak Prescott, pretty good quarterback. Justin Herbert, really good quarterback. Jalen Hurts, a really good quarterback. So it's going to be in different types of quarterbacks than what Derek Carr is, especially at this age, at this stage in his career. So would I be surprised if Kellen comes in and says, I just want to start over with my own handpicked guy? I would not be surprised because I think that's what a lot of coaches like to do.
This is just coming in from Fox Sports, but they project Super Bowl Sunday's record ratings of 126 million people watched. Hey, go to show you, Scott. Football's still king.
Yeah.
And people, I didn't watch the Super Bowl, and but they can tell you about every damn play that happens, which is amazing to me. Listen, I got a neighbor like that. He didn't give up watching football at least four times. Man, and he knows play-by-play better than Hoss, who does the games. It's amazing how pro football has basically kind of taken over. Like growing up, Bobby and I, it was baseball was king. And it wasn't close. The number two spot really was college football more than the NFL. And now the big gap between the NFL and any other American sport.
Well Scott, I'm going to steal this from Howie Long. And you know what? It seems just saying like how it's progressed. But football was made for TV. And he said, look. Baseball might be America's pastime, but football, American football, is America's passion.
Yep.
Ain't no damn pastime. It's passion. I just think that's why, from an international perspective, I don't know, we have, and I guess you could be international, I don't know, Buffalo and one that is kind of close, a team in Toronto or Mexico City, but look how they're expanding the game now in Madrid, and the Saints are even campaigning. Okay, we got to have, what better us than represent France? We got the damn Florida League. We need to be playing in Paris and all that. It's unbelievable how this is going to grow. You know, it's in England. You look at Tottenham and Wembley, and then Germany, going to Madrid, you're going all over. No, the NFL is going to continue to grow, and even Christmas Day. Come on. We're NBA, screw NBA. We're taking over Christmas Day.
I think they have already taken over Christmas Day. Scott, quickly, your thoughts on, as a player or former player, of playing all these overseas games, because I think eventually everybody's going to be involved. You're going to have to play outside the country, and what that does, adjusting your body to that.
Well, I know a lot of guys don't like it, and that's just being honest. And I think a lot of it is tough travel, and I think a lot of guys don't like it because you know what, you go there and you don't even get to really enjoy your surroundings. It is football all day, every day. So before you know it, it's time to play a game. You fly back and people are asking you, did you see this? Did you see this? And you're like, no, I saw the practice field every day in the meeting rooms. Like, you don't really get to do anything. So it's a lot of travel. I think that's why a lot of guys don't like it. But I say that, but you know, a lot of us, you know, I talk to our former guys all the time about our trip to London playing the Chargers. There are a lot of memorable moments, you know, having a warm beer and fish and chips and all those things that you don't get to experience besides the overseas game. So it's fun, but it is really demanding on the in-season schedule and just the body clock and all those things.
Well, Scott, before we let you run, and I heard a debate this weekend, you know, 18-game schedule.
That's happening. I'm telling you, Bob.
Okay.
That's happening.
Well, you got to obviously compensate the players for an extra game. But you know what, from a fan's perspective, if you have 18 games and you know all the injuries, all they got to do is expand the roster. Just have more players Just expand the roster, let's say, by two handful of players. And then you got people hurt. Then you legitimately have players who could play at the NFL level.
And you're not paying those guys at the back end of the roster much anyway.
No,
it's football minimum wage.
The NFL owners, no, you got to expand the roster. And what players against more jobs?
Yeah, go to 60 players from 53. I love that they expanded the practice squad a few years ago. You can now have veterans. I think that really helps. Because you're right, there's going to be a lot more injuries with 18 games. It's too grueling of a season. But there's a fine line though, guys, because I think a lot of what people love about football is you can get up once a week to watch your team and tailgate and do all those things. A lot of times with basketball and baseball, there's just too many games and people get worn out. But as long as there's fantasy football and there's betting, the NFL is going to be king. There's just, you don't want to do too many games because you don't want to start losing the star players you're trying to protect.
Scott, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Always enjoy having you on. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Scott.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
Thanks so much. Scott Shanley, former Saints linebacker, always great to join us, part of a Super Bowl winning team with the New Orleans Saints.